drives, Elliot, to put it bluntly, are the foreplay of the scoring of the NFL. And I want that. Now you're looking at me funny.
Now but I got to go to Tiki with this.
I want long drives. I want 11 play, running and passing, a timeout here, some adversity here, like the Seattle had most of last night. They didn't do anything the easy way.
Good morning, Tiki.
Good morning. I don't think that men are capable of what you're describing.
Oh, Tiki. You need a night. Well, I was going to say you need a night on the town with me, but that's probably something neither of us need, to be perfectly honest. Did Seattle? I believed in the Seahawks all along, but I didn't think they'd win that game last night. I'd loved them to finish strong and be 10-6 and be 11-5. But they sent a massive, that's a message-sending win to the rest of the league last night that says, don't worry about Chancellor and Sherman. Of course, we'd be better with them. But Russell Wilson's still our quarterback, and Pete Carroll's still our coach, and we're still going to make life miserable for you when it all comes together.
And I think that's exactly what the case is out in Seattle. CenturyLink is such a hard place to play at. I remember being out there a couple of times. And you can't even hear the quarterback, not at the line of scrimmage, in the huddle. Like when you're crowded right around each other, it gets so loud there. That 12th man out there is real. And more importantly, they thrive off of that energy. And we saw this last night, and we've been saying it all year. Russell Wilson is just a magician. Right? Their offensive line has had problems since week one of last year, probably even going back to the year before that when they still had Marshawn Lynch. But he still finds ways to create plays and extend things and eventually make something downfield. I mean, the drive that ultimately sealed it for them when they went up 24-17. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. When he's running on third down, he's like, all right, this is dead. You know, the Eagles are going to get the ball back, and Carson Wentz is going to find a way to get this game tied. We're going to go in overtime. And he backyard laterals it to Mike Davis, and they get a first down, and then McKissick scores a little bit later. I mean, it's one of those things that is an intangible that some quarterbacks have, not a ton, but he does, that keeps them in every game regardless of what's going on with their defense or offense or any other inefficiencies. And right now, you look at the Seattle Seahawks, and yes, it is the Rams' divisions in a sense, but Seattle hasn't gone away. They're that pesky little like chihuahua that just nips at your ankle and won't go away.
But you have to play defense as well. You look at Kansas City, and I mean, Alex Smith had a great day, but they couldn't stop the Jets. Seattle without their two defensive backs. I mean, that front seven, they were on Philadelphia. That's as good an offense as there is in the National Football League, and they couldn't get off the ball. Those guys were on them.
Yeah, you know what the biggest difference was for Philadelphia, who was before last week, they were the number two rushing team in the National Football League. They couldn't run the ball. And that is a credit to that front seven. Those guys know what Philadelphia is good at. They like to put Carson Wentz in play-action pass situations. He's one of the most accurate and successful play-action pass quarterbacks in the National Football League. Russell Wilson is too, by the way. But if you're not able to run the ball and you can stop the run with just your front seven without bringing extra pressure, which the Seattle Seahawks were able to do, then you don't necessarily miss Russell, Richard Sherman in the secondary or Cam Chancellor in the secondary, because you can let your coverages be natural as opposed to trying to figure it out as you change around your blitz game. So, you know, kudos to that front seven of Seattle for hampering what the Eagles have done really well so far this year.
Tiki Barber, former All-Pro, joining us live from New York City, 809 on Brady and Price on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Since you've been out of the game, you probably pick a team and you think you know what they are, and it changes five times during the year. My team this year is the Baltimore Ravens, because I like them coming into the year. I actually wasn't terribly impressed. They beat the two Ohio teams, and I thought, okay. Then they went to Wembley and got humiliated by the Jags, and they got humiliated the next week, and they lost 4 of 5. Maybe I mentioned that with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, Tiki, and maybe I've been dismissive, and others have too, because we go, oh, it's a really soft AFC. They're nowhere near the Steelers. But John Harbaugh is their coach, and Joe Flacco is their quarterback, and there's a good defense, and they find a way to get things done, and they're probably going to the playoffs once again.
No, I think you're right, especially with Buffalo sliding right now, obviously losing to the New England Patriots this past weekend. But Baltimore, the whole season, I haven't been impressed with them. They've lost a couple of games where you're just like, really? You lost to the Chicago Bears?
Yeah.
What? You know, I thought you were supposed to be good. I can understand them losing to the Steelers. The Steelers are supposed to be good. The Vikings have been good. But then you close your eyes, and all of a sudden, this Baltimore team's on a three-game win streak. Their defense is playing ridiculously well. Terrell Suggs, who I feel like is my age. Like, I played most of my career with him. He's still balling on a high level. And you hit right on the nail on top of the head. Their defense is keeping them in games. And then Joe Flacco is not a liability. And it's kind of an old.
Mm-hmm. Might have lost Tiki there, but I knew where he was going.
I think we did.
Knew everything he was saying.
Yep.
I agreed with all of it.
Me too.
I really did.
He's talking about the Minnesota Vikings. We'll get back to Tiki when we get him on. And as much as I've liked the Vikings since the beginning of the season, and they have done nothing to dispel any of that, even through injuries, I thought New Orleans, as much as anybody else, is the team that kind of proved themselves. You know, you look at their schedule, and that long win streak was against teams that didn't impress you so much, that they beat them, even though they kept winning them week after week after week. Yesterday's game against Carolina kind of spelled like, hey, it's time to take notice.
Yeah, Minnesota, New Orleans, both the last 2 weeks, and funny that they played each other 2 weeks ago. There's nobody that's doubting how real they are anymore. Because eventually we stopped doing that with Philadelphia. Eventually we're like, this isn't some fluke. They're not stringing some wins together. They're not doing it with mirrors. They're a really good football team. We all knew they were balanced on both sides of the offensive defensive line. But it's been preventing big plays defensively for the Eagles. It's been everything they've been doing so far. So we were mentioning, yeah, Minnesota, New Orleans. There's that point when it comes in the season where it's just not a good start. It's a great year. And we've experienced both those things with the Vikings and the Saints. Really quality. They had to play each other last week, but really quality wins yesterday in different circumstances.
Yeah, no, and I love New Orleans. And I don't know if I told you guys the story, but we had Sean Payton on at the beginning of the season. And I texted him, being my former OC, and he was like, hey, Teak, have you seen Kamara? And I'm like, no, not yet. I know he's a kid out of Tennessee. He's like, he's a stud. Now, he didn't get a ton of a burn early on in the year because they had a three-headed monster in that backfield with Adrian Peterson, and they did the smart thing. They shipped AP out where he's getting more carries out in Arizona, even though he's currently hurt. And Alvin Kamara has been able to shine, and both he and Mark Ingram are dominating in total yardage each and every week. This kid is amazing. He's easily rookie of the year right now. And when you have that kind of dynamic, plus a Drew Brees who's third or fourth or in yardage in the season so far in the National Football League, your offense is explosive. And that's what the Saints have been missing over the last couple of years, is that explosion in the offense. And with their defense playing a little bit better complementary football, I mean, you're excited if you're a New Orleans Saint. Obviously, that big win over the Carolina Panthers puts them atop the division. But Minnesota is the head-scratcher, because any team that has talent but then lacks the quarterback, you start going, all right, well, it's only a matter of time before they fall apart. But Case Keenum's been amazing, and he's earned himself a future contract somewhere, whether it's continues to be in Minnesota, which I doubt because of Teddy Bridgewater, but somewhere else, someone's going to say, you know what, Case Keenum's not that laughing stock anymore. He can be a viable starter in the National Football League.
It was a pretty good day for Rob Gronkowski. 9 catches, 147 yards, a remarkable touchdown and a hit. That's going to land him in some hot water. So what do you do with this guy after dropping on top of somebody who was already out of bounds and the play was done?
Yeah, you know, Rob's an emotional player, and the Patriots do this better than anyone. They're able to curtail their players' emotions on game day, but Rob's a loose cannon, especially when he feels like he was fouled, and he probably was fouled on that play where he came down and suplexed or whatever heck he did after the interception at Tom Brady, and he'll get fined. He's not going to get suspended because it wasn't too egregious, but he'll get fined for it, and he'll learn his lesson. I'm not going to say that Bill Belichick's going to bench him because he's too valuable, but the Pats have been amazing at keeping those type of things from distracting their team from their goal. And we've seen it now after, you know, 2 early losses, one to the Panthers and obviously the first game of the season to the Chiefs. They're just ripping off wins. And I don't want to say it's easy, I mean, but they scored 23-3, 35-17, 33-8, 41-16. I mean, it's kind of easy for them for over the last month. And the Pats getting back to what the Pats are known to do, which is win the AFC East and get a bye week going into the postseason.
Tiki, any anticipation on your part seeing Aaron Rodgers and what he looked like? I don't know that if I'm Green Bay, had they lost that game yesterday and it was tight with Tampa, they won in overtime. I don't know that I'd bring him back if they're 5-7, but I think the world will be wanting to see it, whether they can run this out and they need some other help from other NFC teams just to be a factor that last weekend. But I think we want to see how he is before going into next season. But maybe the Packers pull back on that and say, no, we're gonna wait it out and give him several more months.
And the excitement of hanging around, because that's what the Packers are doing. They're sitting at 500 at 6-6. They're a little bit down the list on as it pertains to the wild card, tied with the Cowboys, tied with the Lions. And it sounds good, but it's so dangerous because it's his throwing arm. If this is his off arm, and like Tony Romo's, where you get hurt again, it's going to suck, and you're going to miss the rest of the season or what's left of the rest of the season. But it's your off shoulder. I don't know if I would mess with a throwing shoulder clavicle, even though he has been throwing the ball around a little bit. And all it takes is one hit. Right? It's one small hit. It may not even look like it's bad to re-injure that thing. So if I'm the Packers, unless you rip off four in a row, which I don't think is going to happen, I'm probably not playing Aaron Rodgers. I'm letting this thing play itself out this year and then be ready for next.
Every Monday, the unique perspective of Tiki Barber, NFL Insider. Thanks, Tiki.
My pleasure, guys. Talk to you next week.